Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Uncensored. For years, the taxi industry has operated under the radar of real regulation. Since its deregulation in 1987, many bus taxi associations have grown into powerful, sometimes militant forces. Most big taxi associations run their own private security firms. Many are heavily armed. Some have even been linked to violent enforcement tactics against schools, shuttle services, and private citizens who dare to compete. There's no question the taxi industry is vital to the functions of the South African economy, as it serves over 60% of South Africa's commuting population. For years now, the taxi industry has left road users inconvenienced by blocking roads and generally causing havoc when their demands are not met. It is truly difficult to imagine another industry which is so blatantly anti-competitive with no consequences. In recent weeks, motorists have raised serious concerns about men in unmarked vehicles conducting what appears to be illegal roadblocks at the Mshali traffic lights. Photos have also been circulating of these vehicles parked almost daily along the highway between Belita and the Tinley Manor N2. Now then, just this last week, construction workers from the Clutmed Tinley Manor site were allegedly forced off contractor buckies and left to walk home along the N2. Now, to unpack these developments and the broader implications for safety, business and community cohesion in our region, I'm joined in studio by the CEO of the Lembe Chamber of Commerce, Kobus Olufse. Good morning, Kobus, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Penny. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, now let's start at the beginning. A community stakeholder forum was established early last year. Now, what prompted its formation and who were the key stakeholders involved?
Thanks, Penny. It was a public transport forum that was created in as a collaboration and following quite a number of engagements with both the taxi association. I must say that the one in 2024 was mostly with the Dolphin Coast Taxi Association. But subsequently to that, we have reached out to the Kwadakuza Taxi Association as well. And then all of the other role players that are involved in either the operations or enforcement around public transport. So obviously the chamber, then community safety from the Kwadakuza municipality was represented. So was the Department of Transport and the Public Transport Enforcement Unit. And the meeting was headed up by the district police commander, General Gopal. And the most recent meeting that we had was with Brigadier Mshlongo, who is the acting district police commissioner. And then we also invited other industry players like the private security enforcement regulators, CERA, I think is the abbreviation. They attended the meeting as well. And based on that attendance, let me maybe just quickly in terms of why did that come about.
You remember
last year this time, and these sporadic incidents do happen, but last year this time it was all about the e-hailing transport services. So it was the Ubers and Bolt operators and the regulations and them complying with regulations around that industry.
Yeah, interesting, because I didn't actually hear about it. I didn't hear that you facilitated a forum and got all the key players together.
So it was interesting as well, you know, because obviously the minibus taxi industry is much more organized, you know, than some of the new operators like the Uber guys and the Bolt guys. But we had quite a good turnout from the e-hailing services. And based on those discussions, and we also had an open session, you know, where we invited all interested parties to come and attend the session after the forum meeting, which was exceptionally well attended. And then as a result of that engagement, the chamber with Kwadakuza, with the Department of Transport and with the Dolphin Coast Taxi Association put out a guideline around staff transport and best practice in staff transport. And
was it adhered to? if you, in your opinion?
Look, there's so many components of that. And I think adherence is, you know, I think it's an ideal. On my way here this morning, I reflected on a story about 6-7 years ago when Zara, my daughter, I can't remember it, whether it was about littering or the way people drive. And she said, well, Dad, why don't they just put up a sign? And yes, my baby, I wish it was that easy, you know, that will just ensure adherence.
But there was some framework for everyone to
follow.
And it helped. I have to be honest. There have been no reported like incidents as it was last year. We were bombarded with incidences.
Look, let's just unpack the adherence component. And I think it'll be good maybe just to reflect on some of the frustrations that are existing. So obviously from a public transport operator point of view, the taxi associations are feeling that the way staff is transported, especially the most recent incidents, are not adhering.
So they basically stopped workers from getting in their buggies to be transported back to wherever they were. Is that?
I believe so. Yeah. So I think the plea that we've always had, both at that meeting as well as the meeting that took place last week under the chairmanship of Brigadier Mshlunga from the SAPS, the district SAPS, was listening. And let's just acknowledge each one of the role players' roles. First of all, let's have respect for the enforcement entities that is supposed to enforce those. You know, let's not take and assume ownership of areas that you know, is delegated and is the remit and the mandate of other other entities. What we also pleaded with both the Department of Transport, with the SAPS and Quadacusa, is that if there are complaints, irrespective of those complaints come from the public or those complaints come from the taxi associations in terms of people violating the regulations and the provisions, that there needs to be a response to that. And I think that was Santaco also attended last week's meeting. And I don't think that's unique to our area in terms of people feeling that the enforcement is not as rigorous as it should be, and therefore people are willing to take or want to take the law into their own hands. And that's obviously something that we advocate against. You know, that, listen, you know, there are mandated entities that work with staff transport, that work with public transport. Allow them to do the work that they're supposed to do.
You know, it's the taxi association, the taxi industry is a 90 billion rand industry. It's not regulated at all. They basically, everyone believes they are a force unto themselves. A lot of them with, you know, these routes are very highly competitive. They guard their routes. Their licenses are also rigorously protected. So with that money involved, is there enough political will to hold operators accountable? Because we've seen, you know, the public frustration, business frustration. And yet, if I could ask, you know, the officials, how many arrests have happened? Have any cases been opened against any of the operators who have been seen to be holding up illegal roadblocks? Would they be able to come back to me and give me a concrete number?
Penny, that is such an awkward question. And I must say that's not a recent problem. You know, the attempts to regulate the public transport industry comes from the late 80s, early 90s.
35 years they've been unregulated, so it's a big problem.
And, you know, attempts to, for example, extend the protection of employment, you know, basic conditions of employment, all of those type of employment regulations into the taxi industry, you know, that would have been exceptionally beneficial for people that work within that industry. You know, all of those attempts have failed. So I don't think it's a, you know, something that we can put at the doors of the current authorities. You know, this is something that comes a long, long way back. In terms of the effectiveness, I must say that last week, the profile was exceptionally high.
I saw all the high-level officials were there.
Exactly, and prompted by calls from the president's office and also from the national, the provincial police commissioner. So that's the extent of the visibility. And I think, you know, once again, I think in terms of how do we influence regulation within that industry is a totally separate discussion, definitely a parallel discussion that needs to happen. But I think for the immediate priorities for the chamber, this is to say, how do we make sure that the investment reputation of our area, and especially around some of the very, very visible developments that are happening around our district, that we don't spoil that, you know, for short-term gain, and that we work constructively with businesses that operate in those sectors to make sure that over the long term, you know, people view our area as stable, compliant, law-abiding. Although, you know, there might be currents underneath the surface that are very stormy. You know, let's at least try and work together with all of the different role players to try and overcome that. Mm. I think one of the pleas that came from the Taxi Association was obviously more rigorous enforcement, as I mentioned earlier, from the authorities, but also that from a chamber point of view, that we facilitate more regular feedback with that public transport forum, that these type of things don't explode without us having any knowledge, that we get a bit of advance notice, that we can get the necessary authorities alerted and say, listen, this is an issue, you know, please step up the enforcement.
And how was the engagement with the taxi associations when you got together last week? Were they open to dialogue and discussions?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the things that we always find from a chamber point of view, is that obviously, very strong points were expressed with a lot of emotion, both from Santaco as well as the Quatacusa as well as the Dolphin Coast Taxi Associations. But there's always a willingness to sit around the table after that and to try and sort out some of the detail in terms of how do we take it forward and, you know, how do we work together as different industry players. Mm. Just maybe one of the big motivations behind the guide, the staff transport guide, was also to remind, you know, some of the businesses and especially contractors that are coming into our area, you know, about the compliance and what is required when you do transport your staff on the back of a vehicle. So I think it was a good reminder as well that, you know, when we do use contractors or subcontractors, it's just make sure, you know, that the guys also understand the regulations and, you know, that even from a business point of view, we make sure that we comply with those.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, the Lembe region, we've got massive industry coming here, development here. So it's obviously so vital to protect it. And that's why there was such a good response. And when I saw the key players who were involved in this forum, I was like, wow, this is like very high level. And obviously they've got a stake in making sure that this region is functioning properly and it works and it's successful. And the buy-in from the associations with the Ubers and the e-hailing, I mean, has that problem effectively been, you know, contained? I know it was very contentious. It was in the media. Social media got very involved in it as well. How were they open to it? Because I was doing the story. I did a story and I wanted to see how, you know, how the Uber drivers are operating now. Where are they? Because it's been so quiet. And someone, you know, from within the industry, the association, said to me, you know, you can't be naive. You know, we've got a certain order, you know, where we abide by our own frame of rules, you know, and that, you know, our drivers have to stick to the routes they have, you know, been given. You know, you have to operate under certain license. There's a whole lot of things, so you can't come and wave your flag and say, oh, look at this, you know, they should be allowed to operate. So I think from a, you know, perspective as a white person who doesn't use the taxi in, you know, taxis and isn't ingrained in that, it's very difficult to really understand it. But you know, what do you make of that? Is it a fair comment?
I think it is. Yeah. And you know, I think one of the most difficult things, you know, for us as collaborators in this forum is that there's a lot of new technology and a lot of new offerings that are coming to the fore that are quite disruptive and quite unique. And with the greatest respect to the Department of Transport, I think there's a lot of catching up in terms of regulations and terms of legislation.
Yeah.
On how to regulate some of these new players that are coming into the fold. And I just think, you know, it's part of the exciting times, especially around technology that we're living in. But in terms of the regulations around e-hailing services, there's a lot of catch-up, both nationally and provincially, that needs to happen to make sure that industry is a bit more regulated than it currently is. You know, and it's not only about registering on an app and then being able to run a business. You know, I do think there's a lot of catching up that needs to happen there. But I think there's an acknowledgement in terms of the different sectors that you know, the different operators service and. It's just,
and also, the argument from our side is that it's a free market. Everyone should have the freedom to choose whatever transport mode they want. You know, it shouldn't be dictated by an industry that actually, it's a 90 billion rand industry and they don't pay tax. So, you know, you actually also have to weigh that up as well. And you think, you know what, they're dictating. And there's a lot of, there's been a lot of allegations in the past that a lot of the, you know, officials do have a stake in the taxi industry. And it's that reason why, you know, that interlinking reason why they haven't really, you know, been very strict on enforcement. And now that's better. I mean, before we used to see them openly displaying firearms in, you know, in public, really intimidating people. And that has come, I mean, I can see it under their jackets, but they're not openly now waving these high caliber guns in public. That's been contained because it's illegal now it's been illegal for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do they pitch up in meetings with their full bodyguards and, you know, fully armed? Are they quite intimidating?
I think intimidating is a different subject for discussion,
yes,
but definitely in terms of, and I also think, you know, it's a bit like what we can't get away from is the reality of some of these industries as well. You know, so the guys do come to the meetings with some of the security companies that they operate with. But I also think there's, you know, always a great amount of respect in terms of, listen, we don't want to see any firearms on display.
Yeah.
And you know, that courtesy is always afforded, you know, irrespective of where we meet with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, and unfortunately that is a reality, industry. And But with regards to, you know, blatantly disregarding the regulations around private security industry and high caliber weapons being on display, you know, definitely not in terms of the engagements that we've had with them.
And I mean, the long-term goal is to protect investment and ensure job creation in our region. That's what everyone wants, because ultimately if this region succeeds, everybody succeeds. And it's, you know, and I mean, we even saw how the Taxi Association during the 2021 riots came, you know, you were united with residents and the, you know, neighborhood watchers. So there is, we're lucky that, you know, our region has been able to contain it. I mean, we've seen other examples over, you know, provinces where it's become, it's uncontrollable. And these mafia cabal sort of networks have got a big, stake in the regions. So what do you say to that? Is this something that, you know, all the stakeholders are invested in to ensure that our region does attract investment and does, you know, make sure the potential is, seen to be increasing?
I think there's an acknowledgement of that, Penny. You know, if you look at the instances that you quoted around the 2021 insurrection, etc. You know, these people are dependent on the economy operating.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's people coming to work to shop or people coming to report for work. you know, obviously there's just an additional element that the chamber drives very, very hard and say, listen, you know, let's do that with dignity in terms of how do we get our workers and our patrons into our economic areas. But, you know, so from that point of view, I think there's a huge dependence on the economy and the economy thriving. And and to be honest with you, in terms of the growth that we've had in our area, probably the taxi association in the country that stands to most benefit from it is the Dolphin Coast Taxi Association,
you know,
in terms of number of routes, in terms of number of additional residential nodes that require public transport, et cetera, et cetera. And I think there's an acknowledgement of that. And that was my plea at last week's meeting, that, you know, let's approach this not with a short-term gain in mind, but in terms of how do we, over the long term, protect the reputation of our regional economy, the growth that we've got, from which we will all benefit.
And
that was the point that I emphasized.
And what was Club Med developers, were they also in the meeting? Were they, I mean, they've been able to contain it within the, you know, you've heard about the construction mafia and they've had no incidences. This is apparently the first incident they've had, you know, outside of their development. How have they been with this?
There was a significant presence at the, first of all, at the community hall from both representatives of Club Med and then obviously their contractors and subcontractors as well. And that meeting continued at the chamber offices afterwards. And then those discussions continued further yesterday. And I think, you know, that's also from a chamber point of view, is that I think the progress that was made, you know, I don't think they need a huge amount of involvement from the chamber, apart from the forums that we've established and the guidelines that we've presented. I think they're on top of it. They're resolving it. And I think in a similar way that a lot of people work behind the scenes, you know, if you're a restaurant and you need transport for your staff at 10:30 or 12:00 on a weekend, you know, you deal directly with the taxi associations, work out how that staff transport would happen. And I don't think it was anything dissimilar in terms of the arrangements that the feedback that I'm getting is that they're on top of and that it was very amicable discussions and they've resolved the issues.
Okay. And are we going to see more presence from the police, traffic officials? Have they committed to their role and, you know, in doing what they need to do to make sure that our roads are, you know, being kept safe?
I do think it will, Penny, and I do think, you know, despite all of the accolades that we award ourselves, is I don't think anything carries more weight than a phone call from the presidency or from the from the provincial police commander. So, you know, I think that it's an exceptionally there's visibility and you know, there was an absolute commitment from very, very high level Department of Transport representatives, SAPS representatives, and then also private security industry bodies, etc., etc.
Okay.
That lay down the ground rules, if I'm allowed to say. Yeah. And I think the commitment is there, you know, to make sure that this industry, despite all of the turbulence, you know, operates smoothly.
Yeah. So the development, I mean, it caused a lot of discord in our community. It has been settled now. It's just trying to monitor it and ensure there is compliance and everyone sticks to their lane, so to speak. Hey?
Very, very much so. And, and you know, just to repeat again what I said, this is all about respecting each other's mandates.
Yeah.
You know, that if the taxi associations have got concerns, if the contractors have got concerns, you know, that there are enforcement bodies, and I'm sure Kwadakuza Community Safety, SAPS, Department of Transport, will respond to those in line with their mandates and their remits.
Okay, well, we've got such big community watchdogs around this area, so we'll see how this, you know, works out, and hopefully we'll have something positive coming from this.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for joining me, Kwebers.
Thanks, Penny. Thanks for having us.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.